Well, good morning. Thank you so much for coming this morning. We are going to have a little bit of a silly time together this morning just because I don't really know how to do anything different. We are going to talk about body parts. Yes, you heard me correctly. We're in church and we're going to talk about body parts. All right, if you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you'll find in various parts of the scriptures, you will find the illustration of that we as Christians are the body of Christ. And that's where our body parts talk is going to come from, that foundation. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 12 through 14 is where we're going to start. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're kind of bounce around because we find some of this talk about the body of Christ in the book of Ephesians, some in Romans, some in Colossians. So we're going to kind of bounce around and we're going to try and pull out some thoughts about the body of Christ and the body parts, which would be ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many." So here's where we get that illustration about the body of Christ. Every single individual who has been saved is joined to the body of Christ. Best illustration I could find was Mr. Potato Head. I had to pry this from my children's fingers. No, not really. But I had this in storage, and when I pulled it out, it was like a brand new toy because I haven't seen it in forever, and so they're begging to play with this after church. So we've got Mr. Potato Head. We know that Mr. Potato Head is made up of many parts. But you don't just individually look at one part of Mr. Potato Head and say, "Hey, look, it's Mr. Potato Head." No, that's an arm. Not until it's joined to the body has it become Mr. Potato Head. So this is the illustration of the body of Christ. Each one of us individually is a part of the body of Christ. Now, for this illustration going throughout the day, you need to pick yourself a body part. I don't care what body part you use. You can be a foot, you can be a nose, you can be eyes, you can be a spleen or a gallbladder or a stomach, the heart, a lung. I really don't care. But pick yourself a body part because that is going to be you for today's illustration. Everybody got a part? Everybody? I'm looking for nodding heads. If you're just staring at me, I know you're not paying attention. Don't fall asleep yet. We just started. All right, so we're all a body part. We all have a part of the body. And because of that, we all have some things that we should remember as being part of the body of Christ. Now, this illustration gives us many things to think about. What we're going to do is we're going to take the letters of the word parts, the parts of the body. And we're just going to use this as I believe it's called an acrostic just to help us remember what we're talking about because I'm going to try and bring across 5 points this morning. And if you're anything like me, if I can sit through a lesson and remember one thing, I've done really well. So we're going to do this in hope that it helps me teach it. It helps you kind of grasp it or remember it a little bit better by going through these body parts. Now, every single person is a body part. Sometimes you look across the church body and you can say, "Oh, I can see how they fit in. I can see what their job is. I can see what part they are." And then you look at other people. What are you in the body of Christ? They're like the appendix of the body. Nobody knows what they do, but they're there. We know that they could swell up and kill all of us, but that's about all we know. We don't know what they do. Sometimes body parts don't get together well. They don't enjoy being around each other. It's just part of life. Sometimes my nose totally disagrees with my feet. Just doesn't like it. But my nose needs the feet because it wouldn't get into any pleasant smells without the feet being there. Okay, so let's start this out with the letter P, which is pleasing. As body parts, as members of the body of Christ, we should be concerned about who we are pleasing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23, if you turn there with me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23. As a body part in the body of Christ, we should be concerned about who we are pleasing. Colossians 3 and verse number 23. Colossians 3 and verse 23 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We are to be doing everything we do as to the Lord. See, where we get in trouble in the body of Christ is when the left hand starts doing its job because of what the right hand thinks it should be doing. Or the nose starts doing its job because the mouth is telling it what to do. We are to be doing things as to the Lord. We get in trouble when we listen to the wrong body part. We let them become in charge. This happens to me every time I go to a buffet line. You ever been there? You stand there, you're looking across these tables full of food, and the wrong body parts start taking control. Your eyes take a look over all the food and they say, fill up the plate, give me two, give me three, I want everything out there. And so your eyes are screaming, give me everything, we can fit it in, don't worry about what the stomach says, we can fit it. Then the nose, as you're going along and you've got your plate full and you're halfway through the line, you know you can't really fit more in there, but then the nose goes, is that fried chicken? I'm smelling fried chicken, we gotta get at least three pieces of fried chicken. Because the nose wants fried chicken. And then you get to the end of the line, your plate is packed full, overflowing with food, and your tongue all of a sudden realizes dessert comes after this. You gotta get me some cake. I need cake. Oh, we gotta get some ice cream too. And so you're listening to the wrong body parts. And eventually you're sitting at the table and you're full and your stomach is screaming, no, stop! But every other body part is going, he can take a little bit more, don't listen to him. What does he know? He's just the stomach. He's in there. Nobody cares. And then you end up going home and sitting on the recliner or the couch and going, why did I do that? We get in trouble when we listen to the wrong body part. The job that you have in the body of Christ, the responsibilities that you have, are not to be done for another body part member. The way you sing in a congregational hymn should not be sung because of how horrible you sound to the person on the end of the row. Doesn't matter what they think. If God wants me singing at the top of my lungs, I'm going to. Now, I don't find in the scripture where it says I have to sing at the top of my lungs, so you can be thankful when you're sitting on the other end of the pew for me. But I don't sing. The way I sing is not because of what somebody else thinks. When I'm singing, it's as to the Lord. Amen. When I go to the supermarket, when I drive, when I'm doing these things, I'm doing it as to the Lord and not unto men. I don't care what you think about my driving. I don't. I only care what Christ thinks about my driving. So you can shake your fist at me all you want. I don't care. Yes, I pulled in front of you, but God said it was okay. I don't do things, as a body part member, we don't do things to serve another body part. Now, some people have what we would call an important job. Some people would have what we call an unimportant job. Pastor Carter has an important job. He's the leadership, but can I submit to you? We don't do things to please our pastor. We don't come to church because it's going to make him happy. We come to church because it's going to make our God happy, our Savior happy. Now, naturally, if we make God happy, I think our pastor is going to be pretty pleased with what we do. But we don't do things to please the man. We do things to please our God. That's the letter P, which is pleasing. The next letter is A, which is authority. Who is the authority of the body of Christ? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Ephesians 4 and verse number 15, we find the authority of the body of Christ. As I've already said, it's not our pastor who is the authority. Ephesians 4 and verse number 15 tells us, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body. That means that I do not get to tell you what your job is. Pastor does not get to tell you what your job is. When I went to college here, somehow I got in my mind a wrong philosophy. Now, it wasn't because of the leadership or the professors. I don't know where it came from, but I had this thought in my mind that if you went to Bible college but didn't do something full-time ministry, that you were wasting your life for God. I had that in my mind. I mean, you went to Bible college, that means you should go into some type of ministry. Whereas you don't find that in the scriptures anywhere. Because it's not my job or your job to tell someone what their job is in the body of Christ. I thought that somebody that went to Bible college for a couple years and then God moved them to join the military, oh, they must be, you know, turning away from God. That's not necessarily true. If God tells them, I want you as the body of Christ in the military, then you know where they're supposed to go? In the military. God has put you exactly where he wants you. That's his job. Where we get in trouble is when we start being our own authority or we start trying to be the authority of the body of Christ. We're sitting in church, and I'm guilty of this, as some of all of us are. We're sitting in church, we're saying, you know what? Our church would run much better if those ushers would just blank. But you're not an usher. That's not your job. Man, we would do a lot better if the song director would just sing this song or do it this way. We get in trouble when we start trying to become the authority. The right arm has no idea what the feet are supposed to be doing because it's not a foot. And so when the foot or the arm starts trying to move things around and saying, you'd be better over here, you know what we end up with? Picasso. We end up with a mess. We end up with the body of Christ not being able to accomplish what it's supposed to be doing. Man, we would just be better if so-and-so would just do this, and they would just start doing things this way. That's not our job. Are we trying to be the authority and not letting Christ be the authority in the body of Christ? We've got letter P, which is pleasing. Who are we pleasing? We've got letter A, which is the authority. The authority is Christ. He is the head. And then we have the letter R, which is responsibility. Every person in here has a responsibility. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Hopefully you're still there in Ephesians with me. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You are given a responsibility by the head, by Christ. The question is, are you doing your responsibility? How happy are you with a body part that stops functioning correctly? Don't you get sick? Something stops doing what its job is, it hurts the body. When you, as a church member, as a part of the body of Christ, when Christ gives you a responsibility and you don't do it, it hurts the body of Christ. Sometimes the right hand makes a decision to not follow the head, and it's like it was missing. Now, here's something that I find interesting. When one part of the body is missing or it's gone, you've seen many these inspirational videos of somebody that's maybe lost a limb in an accident or something, and they overcome it by maybe learning how to paint using their feet instead of their hands. Or they learn how to do something, they learn how to drive without using their hands like normal people would because we have the hands. They overcome that. Sometimes when somebody doesn't do their part, God lays a little heavier burden on another part of the body. Do you think then it's time for us to whine and complain that somebody's not doing their job? No. If my right arm is injured and it ends up in a sling, every part of my body works harder to overcome the disability. Every part of my body puts an extra effort and says, we still have something to accomplish. We still have work to do. Never mind the fact that the right arm's not doing anything. That's not my job to tell the right arm what to do. If the body or if the head tells me to do more, I'm going to do more. How does that apply in our church? Maybe you're in the same position I am when it comes to our mission offering. I don't know if there is somebody in this church that filled out a missions form and did not fulfill their responsibility, or they did not do what they could do. I don't have a clue. That's not my job to figure that out. But I do know this. As my body part, I've gotten a message from God, as it were, that says, you need to do a little bit more. There's something lacking for whatever reason. Now, I can't say that I have the $10,000, $100,000, whatever it would take to put us up there. I don't have that. But guess what? That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to do what the Lord lays on my heart. And I'm not to be stomping around in my bedroom and whining and complaining to God, God, I was going to use this money for this, or I was going to use this money for that. That's not my job as a body part. My job as a body part is to simply do my responsibility. And when God lays something on my heart, it's my job to do it. My question is, there's only one person that knows what your responsibility is. That's you. Are you doing it? Or are you a rebellious part of the body that's refusing to do what God has called them to do? I've been there. I've been that rebellious body part, and I've seen others have to overcome that lacking because of what I refuse to do. Let's look at letter T. First, who are we pleasing? Then, who is the authority? Then, what is our responsibility? And T, what do you think about your job? What do you think about your responsibility? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. What do you think about your responsibility that God has given to you? What God has laid on your heart saying, this is your job. This is your position in the body of Christ. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Now, I have fallen into this trap. I have fallen into the trap of God allows me to do something that I find in my flesh important. And I tend to put myself up on a pedestal that, hey, God gave me this responsibility, so that must make me more important. That must make me better than someone else, and that is not true, because we're all part of the same body. Sometimes we think that my job is more important. Sometimes we think that our job is not as important. Well, if I don't do my job today, it's not going to be that big of a deal. If you stop and you look at what it takes for a Sunday service to run at Landmark Baptist Church, and then take one person out of their duties, it makes an impact. I'm up in the sound room most of the time when I'm in the services. And when I'm there, I see times what happens in the background. I see what happens when an usher does not show up or an usher is not there. Sometimes it's a good reason. They're sick. They're not able to come. They've fallen ill and they can't come. That's understandable. But then there's some times where someone just feels my job's not that important. If I don't show up today, it's not that big of a deal. And I've seen many times to where people have to scramble, other body parts have to scramble to try and meet or fulfill that need. In my junior church class, I have got a great group of workers. I really do. And I appreciate every single one of them. And I've given every single one of them a job, a responsibility that is theirs. Some of them, they get up front, they lead the songs, they're in front of the kids, they're directing, they've got a important job. And others, their main job is to get to junior church and to get to the bathroom and keep the kids from killing each other. That's their main responsibility. And that seems small. But I promise you, I know without ever looking towards the bathroom if they're missing. It changes the whole just feeling of junior church when those children get into the bathrooms and there's no supervision, and the ones that are going to be jerks are jerks, and the ones that are going to be loud are loud, and then they come into junior church and they just continue on in. But when there's somebody there just standing there, doing nothing important. Normally when somebody walks in, the child walks into the bathroom and sees there's somebody standing there, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I have to do what's right. And they don't ever get in trouble because they just automatically know I have to do what's right because somebody's watching me. So it's not like they have to go in there and beat kids on the head to keep them obedient or anything. They just have to be there. But if they're not, it hurts the body of Christ. Sometimes we think of our job as not important, or we think of our job as more important than someone else's. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 with me, and let's continue this thought. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 19. Is our job more important? What makes a job important in the body of Christ? What makes it gives it that importance? Because the way we see things is not the way God sees things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 19. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Mr. Potato Head's eyes can't say, my eyes are important. They have a very important job, so I don't need the stinky feet. They just reek up the bedroom at home. I don't want them anymore. We're getting rid of them. We can't do that because the feet are just as important as the eyes. They both have an important job. Do they do the same job? No. Are the eyes' job more visible sometimes? Yes, but the feet have just as important of a job. Continuing on in verse number 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Let's think about this in our body. How much time did you spend on your hair this morning? Did you spend a good amount of time on it? Making sure it looked just right? It's a comely body part. It's a part we think about often. It's a part that's in the forefront of everything we do. It's a part that we bestow abundant honor. But it's not as needful. How many of you gave one thought towards your spleen this morning? Anybody? Anybody thought about your spleen? Anybody wake up this morning, roll out of bed, and say, oh, yeah, my spleen, I need to make sure it's good. No. But think about it. Yeah, I don't even know if that's where it is. I don't have a clue. Probably like grabbing my gallbladder. My spleen. I don't know. We don't think about it, but which is more needful? If you have something go wrong with your spleen, you end up in the hospital. If you have something go wrong with your hair, you wear a toupee. Nobody ends up in the hospital for going bald. It doesn't happen. But we spend more time on the comely parts. How does that apply to the body of Christ? Someone is given the duty or the responsibility to sing a solo in the church. And they come up in front of everyone, and they have a very comely position. They have a position in the body of Christ that a lot of us would lift up and say, that's a very important job. But can I submit to you, there are more needful jobs and responsibilities in the body of Christ? We might have some beautiful hair, and that's great. God put them there to be the hair because we all look a little different without hair. And I don't know of any person, I could be wrong, I don't know of any person that's gone bald that said, man, I'm glad I finally went bald. Been waiting for this all my life. None of us have ever done that. But there's a spleen needed in our church. There's someone that God has laid on their heart just to simply shake hands. Just to come one and to someone new and say, hey, I'm glad you came today. I'm glad you're here. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from, but I know it's hard coming to a church that you've never been to before and you don't know anybody. And I, for one, just want to let you know that I am personally grateful that you're here. Now tell me, which is more needful? I can play a CD that sounds better than the one up there. It's got better better music. It's got better quality. It's got the echo and all that stuff that I don't know how to do up in the sound room. I don't know how to do that stuff. This has been mastered by somebody that really knows their job. It can sound better, and we can get anybody to stand up there and lip sync to it. And it would sound better, and half of you wouldn't have a clue what's happening anyway. It would turn out great. Which is more needful? The spleen. The one that nobody ever would say they have an important job. But God looks at that job and says, that job is more needful. What do you think about your job? The job that you do? I think it's an interesting thought. I'm just going to give this to you real quick. When I go home at the end of a work day, most of the time what I'm fulfilling in my family's life is their needs. I'm making sure that their house is provided for, that they have food on the table, that they're clothed, you know, all these things that they need. Never one time in my life have I gotten home and been excited to fulfill a need. You know what I mean? That's something I do every day. It's needed. If I don't do it, the family's going to hurt. Notice God says that some of these body parts fulfill a job that is more needful. But when I come home and I'm able to give my children or my wife something that they just want, it's not really needed, but it's something that they just want. I'm able to bring, very rarely, sadly, but I'm able to bring my wife some flowers home. She doesn't need flowers, but I know she would want flowers. And I enjoy that. I find pleasure in giving my wife what she wants, where sometimes I don't find as much pleasure in giving what she needs. Do you understand that? Sometimes I feel it might be that we want to give God what he wants, the pretty things in our eyes that aren't really needed, but God's just begging for us to fulfill the needs. God's just begging for us, please, can you just go work on Monday and keep a good attitude? Not lose your temper, be a good testimony. That's what I need. I'm glad you came to church. I'm glad you sat in the pew. But I need you to be a light in the world. And we get more excited about the stuff that's more comely instead of the stuff that Christ needs from us. Almost done here. We've gone through P, pleasing. Who are we pleasing as a body member of Christ? Who's the authority? Who's in charge? Who's telling us what to do? Are we doing the responsibility that authority gives us? What do you think about this job? And this is my favorite out of all five. Are you satisfied being the body part that you are? Are you satisfied being an ear? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:13 through 18. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? You see, sometimes in our flesh, I fear, we uplift certain jobs. We say this person has an important task, but God doesn't see it that way. He sees it as we are one body and we all have a needful position. God sometimes makes us a mouth, but we really want to be an eye. We see what somebody else is doing in their position, and we just sit back saying, man, I can't preach like he can. Man, I wish I could do that. Man, I can't sing like they can. Man, I wish I could sing like that. God didn't make you one of those body parts. What did he make you to do? Man, I don't have the health to be able to do what they do. Do you think God knows that? Never one time have I ever been upset because my hand did not hear what was going on. Never one time. Never one time did I get upset because my pinky didn't get me to work on time. Never one time. Want to know why? Because that's not their job. God's giving you a job. And get this. This is amazing to me. Pastor Stephen has been called to be the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. When he fulfills that need, that responsibility that God has given to him, does that please God? Yes. If God gives you the responsibility to work a 40, 50, 60 hour a week job, and that's the responsibility he gave you, he is just as happy with you as he is with our pastor. He is not looking at pastor and holding him up on a pedestal and saying, look, he's doing this and you're just doing that. God says, that's the job I gave you. I gave you the job of a toe. I want you to be the best toe you could ever be. And I think that when we get to heaven, sometimes we see these men of God that have done great things and we lift them up in our eyes. I wonder if when we get to heaven, they're going to be in the background and God's going to say, hey, did you see this needful part? Do you know what this church member did every single week? Nobody ever saw it. Nobody ever cared, but they faithfully served me as a toe. And they were the best toe I've ever had in the body of Christ. And I think we're going to sit back in awe and wonder sometimes at people that we never even saw, because God gave them a responsibility and they fulfilled that responsibility. Look with me in verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, get this, as it hath pleased him. Are you upset that you are an ear? God is pleased with you being an ear. Don't try to be an arm. Are you upset that you're an arm and you want to be the head? Don't try and be the head. That's not the job. That's not the responsibility God gave you. You're tired of being a mouth. You're tired of being what God has made you. You think you could do better somewhere else. And you know what we end up with? A complete mess. What's the body of Christ going to accomplish? Not much. Now, God's amazing. He can accomplish something with that. I don't know how, but he can. But don't you think he'd accomplish much more if we simply remembered to do what the body parts are supposed to do? Who are you pleasing? Are you pleasing your Savior, or are you more worried about what somebody else thinks? Who's the authority and tells you what to do and where to go and how to do it? Are you becoming your own authority? Are you trying to tell others what to do? Are you fulfilling your responsibility? What God is telling you to do, I don't know what it is. That's between you and the head of the body. Are you doing your responsibility? What do you think about your job? Do you think you're less important? You're not. Are you satisfied being the body part that God has called you to be? Can you honestly say,